B-Pod Studios.
Elgar.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Elgar and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Garden crowd gets loud again. The Boston Bruins in Game 2 impose their will on the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they have squared this best-of-7 opening round matchup at one game apiece. Your final here in Game 2, Bruins 4 and the Maple Leafs 1.
Judd Surratt with the call. Game 2 Saturday night in Boston here on 95 The Sports Hub. Game 3 comes your way this evening. 7 o'clock puck drop up in Toronto against Surratt and Beers with the call. Catch it here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Pregame starts at 6:30. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on the Celtics, Red Sox, and Tiger Woods and the Masters here on a re-entry Monday. A lot of stuff to get to. Good time of year, Maz, as you like to say.
Oh, it's the best.
Bill in Rhode Island on the Bees. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I just want to know where the Department of Player Public Safety or whatever they're calling that thing is the look at DeBrusk's knee-on-knee hit. Now, I'm not saying I'm a Leafs fan at all, but that hit to me looked like that was on purpose. That looked like he stuck his knee out. He knew he was coming, and he wanted to hurt him. Also before that, the hit to Marleau against the glass, that's something that I guess the refs didn't see.
It's a legal check. Speaking,
yeah, but on that corner, we all know that's a little dangerous right there. So I'm not saying that it's an illegal check, but I'm saying that it's something that players know about and they're not supposed to do. So DeBrusk did get, I mean, if we were had the roles reversed, do we not feel as Bruins fans we'd be thinking the same thing? I'm not here to defend Kadri at all. I think he deserves, you know, a suspension. But somebody's got to look at that as well, just to kind of keep the
sure, Bill.
You know, keep the sheet balanced.
Well, you know me, I'm a big roles reverse kind of guy, and I'm giving it to you. I think the Kadri hit's being overplayed a little bit. Doesn't mean it wasn't worthy of being kicked out and being suspended. I think he should be suspended. I'm just telling you, I ain't calling 911. This ain't Montreal. He didn't hit him that hard. It was high. It was with the stick. It was cheap. He deserved to get thrown out, and he deserves to be suspended. But let's not call 911, shall we? That was a, follow me here, garden variety cross-check to the neck. I better him than me, but he was okay. He wasn't hurt. He's playing tonight. So let's just, I'm not losing my mind over that check. The hit on Marleau, it's legal. You know, Sean Avery went on this stupid rant where he says, that's a 20-year veteran you're doing that to.
He's an idiot.
So wait, you're not supposed to hit 20-year veterans in the playoffs? You see a guy, you see a guy who's been in the league a long time, is respected, you don't touch him because it, what kind of asinine comment is that? What does it matter how long the guy's been in the league?
I mean, this wasn't unlike Chara and Pacioretty.
It's the same thing. And it's technically a legal hit unless you intend to injure the guy. And even then, that's a tough reach. So that was not an illegal hit. Do you say if that's a regular season game and that's Pat Marleau, do you say, okay, I'm not going to destroy the old man into the stanchion? Maybe. It's the freaking playoffs. The knee on knee, I don't think he stuck his knee out.
I mean, to me, it was close. Again, I thought he did a little bit. I'm not telling you it was egregious or there was intent to injure or that first replay. And, the different angles show you a little bit of different. But that first replay, it looks to me like it moves just a little to go out there. And I sort of looked at it and said, he didn't avoid him either. He saw him and he didn't avoid it either. That's for sure.
Well, I do love that DeBrusk was out for blood. I really do.
He's an animal.
You know, and again, him going at Kadri, not that it's Kadri, they're the same size, it's the same weight class, but Kadri's a 10-year veteran. And DeBrusk just second year in the league. You don't see many guys stand up and go after a guy like that.
I mean, just compare his tenacity to Austin Matthews.
Oh, it's night and day. Michael in the car on Tiger Woods. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Felger, I think the reason people react to Tiger the way they do isn't because, you know, like it's this amazing comeback. So I think people just like, we're in a time right now, a lot of people are dealing, and there's a lot of drug addicts. So you can't just say, oh, he's just popping pills. Like, people are dealing with a lot of stuff. So to see the guy at the very top of the sort of sports world fall literally to the bottom and then, you know, climb his way back up, I think is appealing to people. I don't think...
Sure.
I mean, I agree with you. The guy who was with Nance was the one who said, it wasn't Nance, it was the guy who was commenting with him. He said, it's the greatest, there'll never be a greater...
Right.
moment like this again in the history of the Masters, which is just obviously insane.
Oh, ridiculous. Let me tell you what it is. It's not the personal redemption story. That's a tiny part of it. Let me tell you what it is. People who love golf know how freaking boring their sport is. And they know how dreadful that leaderboard is on a weekly basis with guys who just don't move the needle. Spieth, Koepka, Rory McIlroy, where's he been?
Oh, you mean Francesco Molinari doesn't do it for you?
The sport is a bore because the leaderboard is a bore. Even if it's the best golfers on the planet, none of those guys move the needle. They don't. They're personalityless. They're not interesting to follow. It's just, it's not a good tour in terms of interesting guys. It's not an interesting tour. It's not. And the hardcore golfers out there who rail against that, you know it's true. You know it's true, which is why you get all horny for Tiger, because he brings it. He brings that element to the game. And so you're rooting for him, which, fine. If you're a golf guy and you want your sport to matter, you want Tiger to matter, I get it. Just don't tell me that this comeback is like he's coming back from the front or something. He's coming back from cheating on his wife and getting addicted to pills.
Oh, listen, he's a dirtbag.
I'm not even willing to say that.
I am too.
I'm just, let's just be clear of what he's coming back from.
I mean, with the crap he was pulling as a father and a husband, that's as dirty as it gets, for crying out loud. Never to mention some of those text messages that got swapped back and forth between him and the porn star and the crap that was going on there. I mean, that's twisted. Then, now again, to each his own. Okay, but that aside. And then on top of it all, like, who knows what the hell else he's doing in terms of how he got himself back to this physical condition. But you know what? I'm glad he's back. I'll take Mickelson, too. He's a gambling degenerate.
Right, exactly.
Give me someone who's messed up.
These guys are important to the sport because the sport is lacking compelling characters. I didn't say bad golfer. I didn't say they're lacking talented golfers. There's talented guys there. You don't care about them. You don't care about Jordan Spieth. You just don't. So that's why it's the golf people who are over the top for Tiger, because they need Tiger.
Yeah, they're rooting for their sport to be relevant again. And now, with what happened yesterday, it is. I mean, he does put asses in seats.
I will say, I do take a little of a sadistic joy in guys chunking balls into the water as pro golfers. You guys suck. You're like, I should do that, not you.
Max in the truck, what do you got for me on the NHL?
Hey, what's up, guys? Did you guys see the Tampa Bay Columbus series?
Yes.
Columbus is about to sweep them. And I think if Columbus sweeps the Lightning, I think it's going to pave the way for the Bruins to get to the Stanley Cup a lot easier.
Okay, Max, the door is ajar. Sidney Crosby and the Penguins are down 3-0, and the greatest regular season hockey team in the NHL in a decade is down 3-0. And instead of drawing what we thought could have been an all-time kind of team in the Tampa Bay Lightning, you might get an 8-seeded Columbus. Which is no rollover, by the way. That's a big, tough team, and Tortorella's got him buying in. That's going to be, if you get there, that's no picnic. Trust me, I'm not saying like that's a waltz. It's just a different story than the Tampa Bay Lightning with Stamkos and Kucherov and Hedman and Stroman and McDonough, and oh my God.
I mean, they're loaded. They're loaded. Top to bottom, they're loaded.
But who's tough on that team? They don't have a pain in the ass. They don't have a Kadri. They don't have a Marchand, and I think that's been a factor.
Yeah, so, I mean,
Girardi's tough. McDonough's tough.
I was just going to say McDonough, Callahan. Like,
their D is tough.
Yes. Like, I think there's some gritty guys there. I just think they're getting their asses handed to them.
A must-win game. So last night, I'm so fascinated by this because of how good they are. Because you've even seen this in the recent games against the Bruins. Like, they just flip a switch, and they're on them. This is ridiculous. That's a must-win game last night. They had 3 shots on goal in the first period, and then 11 in the second. So 14 total shots in 2 periods. Are you in a must-win game? That's a no-show. That's a complete no-show.
Okay, so they're collapsing. Torts has got that team playing. Bobrovsky, now that should, they're an 8 seed. They're not the Lightning, but Bobrovsky should scare the crap out of you if he's got his head screwed on straight. He's been ridiculous.
Since the first period of game 1, Columbus has outscored him 12-2.
So anyway,
12, and Vasilevsky's crapped his pants too, by the way.
No point talking about the next one when you're not through this one. You're 1-1 in this one.
Just quickly, if they end up losing it and they're down 3-0, I'd fire the coach. You got to do something there.
Cooper?
Yeah.
Someone's got to pay for that.
I mean, there's just no way. They won 54 games a year ago, 62 this year, and they get bounced in the first round.
Andy in Dorchester on the NBA. Go ahead, Andy.
I just wanted to say we are already basically penciling the Celtics and the Bucks in the second round, and I think whoever comes out of that second round is going to go to the NBA playoffs. Even though I'm a green teamer, I personally favorite the Bucks because, you know, Giannis is a savage. But if the Celtics get through the Bucks, because the Bucks are clearly a better team. I don't care that we have Kyrie, because they're not mentally tough this year. And I even said this last year. The Bucks were the best team that the Celtics went through last year, despite going through Philadelphia. I don't care if they had LeBron, because that team was just booty. But the Bucks was the best team.
That team was booty. Is that what he said?
I think so.
The Bucks, I don't want to buy fully in on. I mean, the Bucks will have home court and the best player. And I put a little question mark there, Maz. Who's a better player, Giannis or Kyrie? Who would you rather have?
Giannis.
Kyrie's better on the offensive end, but Giannis is the best all-around player in the series. Kyrie's a better scorer. A better offensive player, way better shooter. It's not even comparable.
Okay, he's a better shooter. Is he a better offensive player?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yep.
Okay.
And so, you know, because he's harder to defend in some ways because you got to defend the whole floor.
He's harder to defend?
In some ways. I said in some ways. Giannis can't shoot.
Have you seen Giannis's Euro step?
Yes. It's filthy.
Try stopping that.
So this is what I'm saying. But Giannis, if you can keep Giannis on the perimeter,
yeah,
he's not that good.
No, I'm not a huge believer in the Bucks. They've had a good year. I still think he, meaning Giannis, and they are a step or two away because of late game stuff. I think it's a late game issue with last shot and who takes it and how they run their offense and all that. Because Giannis has no handle out there in the half court and he's not a shooter and so all of that. He's not down on the block, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the Bucks are susceptible. They'll also have home court and they're kind of rolling.
Yeah, if the Celtics lose again, I'm not giving the Celtics any slack on that one. It's their fault for not having home court. And that Euro step you're talking about with Giannis, you know what we used to call that?
Traveling. the traveling they allow on that guy is unbelievable.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous.
All right, we continue with your thoughts on a reentry Monday right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Well, we need to be on time with our start. We knew that. We didn't play to our identity on game one. We all knew that. We're aware of it. We wanted to move past it, have a good response game. How do you respond? You're physical. Win the puck battles, control momentum in the first period, attack when you have the chance, puck possession. There's a lot. We hit a lot of checklists. Basically let them know that, you know, how we're going to play.
And it's McAvoy who takes down Zach Hyman cleanly.
Bruins with a puck. Chip it out in front. Fired. They score!
Gets involved with Marchand.
They've taken the handcuffs off of Marchand a little bit here in this game. He's already feisty. A little cuff to the back of the head.
Pastrnak into the slot. Feeds Marchand. Shoots. He scores!
Now here's Krejci. He got pounded by Kadri. And DeBrusk steps into him and flattens him.
Kadri whining. The intensity's there. The forecheck is there. The finishing of hits is there.
Back of the net, not in the near corner. Here's Kadri. Driven against the wall and knocked down by DeBrusk. They've got a battle going behind the play. Kadri wants some sort of a penalty. High slot is fired wide. And now the two go down.
Well, these two, Kadri opened it up last game with the late hit on DeBrusk. Good hard hit by Jake DeBrusk, finishing him off. And then Kadri grabbed his arm on the way down. DeBrusk with a good face wash. Kadri complaining.
Pastrnak steps in, and he just flattened Jake Muzzin.
They're giving him a penalty.
And Pastrnak is shocked.
I think they're going to say he left his feet, Judd. And if he did, he gave a charging penalty sign. I think that's a good hit. Muzzin leaking. Well, that sure looked like a pretty good hit.
All right, good response from the Bruins on Saturday. Great response. What does that mean for tonight? We will see Mike and Methuen on the Bees here on a reentry Monday. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I know the Bruins have had a couple of hiccups this year, but they've been a very good responsive team throughout the course of the year, and I think they showed that Saturday night. And I just wanted to, like, draw comparisons to Tampa Bay. They look like a team that hasn't recovered from that first game meltdown. And if you look at some of the photographs from after game one, instead of filing into the locker room, they're all just sitting on the bench as that final siren is going off, almost as if like they lost game seven of a series. Just kind of tells me that they look kind of soft.
Well, let me tell you what the deal is, Mike. I think part with Tampa, when you face zero adversity over the course of a year, and then you get hit with some,
especially in that sport,
you have nothing to draw on.
Correct. The regular season is too easy for them.
And I think that's why, you know, this is a Patriots thing, and not that it's always caught up to them, but those years when it's just tomato can after tomato can, I think it's good to have some challenges in there, even if you're losing one of those games along the way.
Or the hockey equivalent of the Peyton Manning Colts.
Yes, it's just what you waltz in every year to 14-2. So, like, you know, the Pats have won in that circumstance as well, for sure. But I just think that's part of what's going on with Tampa. They never had to fight through anything.
No, I think that's a big part of it. Again, they won 62 games. Like, really? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so, because there are players on that roster that you look at and you say that, you know, they're not soft. They don't have a reputation of being soft. But, man, in this series, they're getting leaned on. They've been outscored 12-2 in the last eight periods.
All I know is if you get past Toronto, those are the stakes. You won't have to face Tampa. We've talked all year about you can't get past Tampa. You can't get past Tampa. Can you get past Tampa? How do you get past Tampa? How do you get past? You may not have to get past Tampa. Think of that. Mary in Manchester on Tiger Woods. What do you think, Mary?
Well, I agree with you. I think that it was great for the sport because I don't really care much about golf, but I was interested in seeing him win yesterday. But beyond that, I wanted to ask you guys what you thought maybe the top three best comebacks in sports history are, and whether or not you would think that the Atlanta Patriots Super Bowl was one of them. That's what I have as one.
Mary, if you talk about team comebacks, you know, I would not put – Jax is on the list. Again, Jack was tied for ninth. He had 14 guys either with him or ahead of him. He shot 6-under-30 on the back nine. That comeback in 86 deserves mention with the Red Sox in 04 and those kind of comebacks. Yesterday, Tiger was two shots off the lead in the final group. You can't compare that. That's my beef, is that people are putting Tiger Woods next to Jack Nicklaus in 86. That's nonsense. But the greatest sports comebacks of all time. I mean, the Red Sox in 04 is...
Yep.
I mean, if it's not one, two, or three, we're the Patriots against the Falcons. Right, good one.
I mean, those are both good.
You know, Frank Reich and the Bills is another one.
That's a great one. I mean, again, it was a conference championship, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe
a
divisional playoff. Yeah, divisional playoff. So there are a few. I mean, look, again, if we're talking individuals versus teams, how many did Muhammad Ali have? Like, you know, he goes off to prison for crying out loud, comes back and wins a heavyweight championship. That's a pretty good story, too. And, you know, and there was an international element to that. So, like, you know, I don't know.
Look, if you don't put Tiger's comeback story.
Yeah, the 11 years.
Meaning 11 years, that's pretty good. And that's, I'm not going to take that away. That's a good accomplishment. Fine. He was two shots. Oh, he shot 35 on the back nine. 35, he shot 1-under-par on the back nine. Nice. And by the way, that's the first time he ever did it. And that I do hold against him. And that's my big problem with the Tiger era. It's either that he showed up and curb stomped everybody and he'd get to Sunday and be up by 12 strokes and then what are we even watching? Like, that did nothing for me. It didn't show me anything about him other than he was great, which I know, but it shows me nothing about his ability to win or grind or overcome adversity. Either he showed up and dominated everyone or he was somewhere lower on the leaderboard and then even he on Sunday said, whatever, I'm going to Perkins. I'll catch you next time. Seriously.
Which might be really the most amazing stat about him of all. Of the 15 majors, it's the first time he didn't have a share of the lead going into Sunday.
Jack had 18 majors. He came back in eight of them. In eight of them, he was in second place or lower going into Sunday. And he was tied for the lead twice more. So in 10 of the 18, he was not the clear leader on Sunday. And then again, the number I keep going back to is that Jack finished second 19 times. 19 in majors, which means even when he wasn't winning, he was fighting to the end. He always fought to the end. He competed. Tiger has 6 second place finishes, which tells me, I'm not going to win. What's the diff? I got my money. I got someone waiting for me back at the chalet. I'm out of here. Audi.
Well, and the money's a big part of it, too.
Right? It is a big part of it.
Yeah, because Jack, by finishing second, Jack got money.
Well, see, but this is what is the problem with the modern golf. And this is why I think, this is why I think the modern golf world doesn't have enough winners. There's a lot of great talent out there, but they don't need to win. All they need to do is finish in the top, whatever, 100 on the money list. You get a golf sponsor, you wear the hat, and you're set for life. You never have to win. Nicholas and those guys, they didn't wear the, they weren't walking advertisements. They needed the second place finish money. And so
huge factor.
They needed the prize money. So it was a competition all the way down the line. So those guys knew how to win. They knew how to putt under pressure. They knew how to play for that. Nowadays, you got the golf sponsorship. What's the difference?
Yeah, no. Every putt mattered. Like, again, just use Koepka yesterday as an example. If he makes that putt on 18, he finishes outright in second place. In fact, he actually ties for the lead, but maybe Tiger plays the hole different. Yeah. Let's just say whatever. Like, that's huge dough.
Not for him.
No, but not for them.
He makes more off the logo on his hat.
I mean, really, so that part of it's gone now. Whether you finish second or 22nd, it's almost irrelevant.
Pete in Delaware on the Celtics here on a reentry Monday. Yes, Pete.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I wasn't impressed at all yesterday by Boston. You shoot 36%, have 20 turnovers. You win by 10. It's more about how bad Indiana's offense is than how good Boston was yesterday. And the other thing, Toronto, here we go. Kyle Lowry, they need to rebuild him. Once again, his confidence. 34 minutes, 0 points. What a steaming dump on the court.
that Toronto team, you've got to be kidding
me. I mean, it's really unbelievable. Again, they were the number one seed last year. They played Cleveland in the playoffs with home court and got swept. Swept. They lost the first two games at home and then shut it down. It was over. That's it. So what do? They transplant the team. They get rid of DeRozan. They bring in Kawhi Leonard. They roll the dice. We're going to change the DNA. And they lose game one at home. It's to Orlando. Orlando. Like, you should have to lose the series just for losing game one to Orlando at home.
Swept the Celtics this year.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Here's the latest on Nazem Kadri and our update. And we're back with
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
At least that's out of the way. High pop up into right. That may do it. Out goes VR. Mullins coming in. And a collision there with Mancini. They make the catch, however. And that does it.
It's a reentry Monday. We haven't done anything on the Sox. Let's just do a quick minute. We will have the baseball reporters tonight for a half hour, 6 o'clock, right?
Correct. Yep, 6 o'clock.
Okay, Red Sox split against the Baltimore Orioles. They get waxed today. Again, that 42 for Baltimore was pretty good. Complete game three hitter. I tell you, I thought he looked a little different at the end than when he started, but either way.
Different body type.
42 mowed you down. He was all over the place, actually, in this game. I'm sorry to keep using that bad joke. I don't know why it's funny to me. But 8-1 to that crap-ass Oriole team, Mass.
So they came home from their season-opening West Coast trip. We said, okay, they get into their ballpark against two bad teams. They went 3-3. And by the way, really? They're not worth more than a minute. So that's all they're going to get. 3-3 at home.
Toronto and Baltimore.
3-3 at home. Rick Porcello still pitching like someone who is butthurt by the fact that he didn't get a contract like Xander Bogaerts or Chris Sale during spring training. So Sale's back on the mound tomorrow night in New York. In New York. Two-gamer with the Yankees, and then they go to Tampa and play the Rays. So now you go to the, in theory, the penthouse of the American League East, which you should be really the owner. And they're not playing great. They're still putzing along here. It's 6-11.
The bigness and dignity, Murray, this weekend?
Say again?
What was the biggest indignity for the Red Sox this weekend?
Oh, that Chris Davis gets off his 0-for streak that goes back to last year, was hitting it? Home runs today.
0-for 54 coming into the series?
Correct.
0-for his last 54, his first at-bat, because he sat out the first game two on Saturday.
Yeah.
Two-run RBI to break the 0-for 54 streak. He asked for the ball.
And then today he got his first homer of the year.
And then hit a homer today against you.
You know, even with his 0-for 54... he still had more RBI than Jackie Bradley coming in. Okay, so there's another one for you.
At what point are you looking at a lost season there, man?
Well, it's insult to injury. Another thing today felt like a throwaway game. Like Hector Velasquez starts, I know, because they push Sale, but Christian Vasquez was playing second base?
Apparently Nunez was sick.
But I'll tell you what, that's not the issue. He was fine there.
No, that's right. There wasn't a mistake, as it turned out. But it did, you know, that Patriots Day lineup sometimes can be a little sketchy. I still go back to the big picture. 3-3 against two crap bag teams in your 6-11. 6-11, 17 games now. When are you going to actually start playing with any level of consistency? 2-2 against the Orioles in four games at home.
Ugh. Okay, there's your Red Sox Minute. More coming up on the Baseball Reporters at 6 before the Bruins pregame at 6:30. Adam in Rhode Island on the Bruins. Go ahead, Adam.
It's by far the most wonderful time of year, but what makes it even better is listening to all the bitching coming on from the north. I can't tell if we're playing Montreal or the Maple Leafs right now. But really quick, do you know that Tuukka Rask is in the top six of goaltenders in this playoff so far?
Top six in terms of what?
Save percentage and goals against.
There were only 16. It's middle of the pack.
Yeah, but I remember when the discussion started, you guys went through a list with Tuukka was like power rankings, and Tuukka was like number 16. So I just figured maybe an update of this would be better.
Well, you call ESPN.
I'm not a Tuukka defender. I'm on the fence, but like my point is that he's playing good. So I mean, maybe we should give him a little bit of the positive when we trash him with all the negative.
Okay. Well, you just did it.
Thank you.
Okay. I mean, I thought Rask was a non-factor in both games. Frankly, non-factor.
Well, I don't know if I call him a non-factor in game one. I mean,
the team sucked. He was okay. The team was great on Saturday. He was better on Saturday. So it's like,
well, so I hear what you mean.
I don't think he was a factor in either game.
So in the outcome, I gotcha. In game one, he had a chance to become a factor.
Well, no, that's why I keep saying he's not the story, which you can sort of say is the problem. But also, you know, he's not the story in a bad way either. He's just sort of there. Okay, so, like, again, I don't know if you need, why you were paying someone $7 million just to be there. You know, we need someone to lift you up when you're not there. Okay? But either way, game three tonight.
I mean, what's that load for the Islanders make? Leonard. Like, that's 6'4", 240. They butter him and they stick him in the net.
I think Frederik Anderson's been good.
He's been dynamite.
He's been really good. So maybe that, I don't know if that gives you a little bit of pause heading into Toronto tonight. Derek in Foxborough on Tiger Woods. Yes, Derek.
Yeah, you know, I'm tired of these old-timey, nostalgic golf fans talking about Jack's 1986 win. What Tiger did this week was way more impressive than that.
Not even close. Hey, Derek, let me just stop you. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Oh, man, you sound... I always took you to be an elderly caller.
Really? I had the opposite.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I had him at, like, 20.
So, Derek, if you weren't even... You weren't even a... twinkle in your mom's eye, or were you? When was 86? It was 30 years. So you weren't born. How are you qualified to discuss it?
Because I looked this up. Jack shot a -9 for the tournament. That would have ranked him 12th this weekend. The competition Tiger faced was way tougher.
It's not.
He didn't have that out of shape John Daly's of the world. It's not even close.
You're not even close. It has nothing to do with the final score. It has to do with you competing against your fellow golfers. That's the whole game. That's the whole game. The whole game yesterday was Molinari and Finau or whatever watching Tiger come on in the ninth inning and then crapping. I'm sorry, in the back nine and then crapping their pants. It didn't matter if they were -15 or -5. It was a duel at that point, and they couldn't handle it. And believe me, back in Jack's day, they could handle it. He had to deal with much tougher competitors than Tiger has to deal with. Nicholas may not have had to deal with as many good golfers. I think that's fair. The field now is much bigger and much more talented. But we just got through telling you. Trust me, Derek. These guys don't know how to win like they did in the old days. They had to win in the old days.
I mean, you go right down the list there with these guys yesterday in terms of the mistakes they made and that really wasn't even a lot of pressure. It was some, right? I know it's the Masters, but you know, Tiger's there. You're within a, you know, you're right there. Dustin Johnson hits it into the bunker on 18. He has a make birdie. Koepka misses a putt on 18 under the hole to potentially put pressure on Tiger going to the tee. The guy can't play. Can't lay or whatever his name. Can't play. That guy sucks. He completely crapped his pants out there. Schauffele, same thing. Molinari and Finau held hands, pulled down each other's pants, and crap right there on the 12th hole.
Tiger shot a 35 on the back, Derek. 35. Jack shot a 30. He was six under. And again, Greg Norman was a pants crapper. I'm not going to tell you that, like, you know, Jack stared down Greg Norman. That was any great feat, because Greg Norman was a classic choke artist. Seve Ballesteros wasn't, and Tom Kite wasn't, and those who were contending that day. But in Jack's career, he had to face down Palmer and Player and Trevino and Watson, and he lost to those guys as much as he won, because they all went back and forth and they all knew how to win. Who's gone back and forth with Tiger Woods? No one. Exactly no one. Jack had a tougher go of it than Tiger. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Here it is. Woods has 2 feet to win the Masters. Everyone quiets down. Tiger back behind the ball. Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods 2019. Masters champion, one of the great comeback stories in American sports history. Masters number 5, Major number 15, and Augusta National roars like never before.
Just unreal, to be honest with you. It's, you know, just the whole tournament has meant so much to me over the years. Oh, now I know why I'm balding. This stuff is hard. Just to come back here and to play as well as I did and did all the things, all the little things well this week, and to do it here. This has meant so much to me and my family, this tournament, and to have everyone here. It's something I'll never, ever forget.
All right, Tiger Woods, one of the items here on a re-entry Monday. Joe in Plymouth, your thoughts?
Yeah, guys. I know you've been making some comments and you've been comparing Jack's record with Tiger's record, and not only his wins, but also his second place finishes. And I just wanted to make a couple of points here anyway, but one is a quote from Jack Nicklaus himself. When he was asked about his major championship record, he said those were actually the easiest tournaments for him to win because he knew there was only a handful of guys that he had to beat going in. And I just think that goes back to being, you know, his way of saying there were only a few shot makers. And I don't necessarily think you can say that in Tiger's era. And I got some facts.
Oh, I disagree. I think the field nowadays is one big giant crap fest. I don't think any of those guys know how to win. Just think about it. When he's leading at a major, it's over. When Tiger leads at a major, it's done. So who's contending with him?
They're all intimidated by him. They are. And you know what? There's even still some of that.
Oh, there's a lot of it. Joe,
they were intimidated by Jack, too. They used to say, you know, Jack had you beat in the parking lot, you know, because you used to look at him. He knew he was going to beat you. You knew he was going to beat you. And he knew that you knew you were going to beat you. So,
Joe, what's your second point?
Jack had 12 second-place finishes, right?
19,
I'm sorry. 12 of those were to 6 guys.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you. So? I've told you a million times, the field wasn't as deep with Jack, but it was tougher. It was a tougher field. And yes, the 6 guys, I could probably look it up, but I bet it was something like Watson, Player, Palmer, Trevino, all legit, huge, tough winners. And if he, you know, dropped one along the way to, you know, Harold Fenefesi, I'm sure those that are in there too.
I mean, all those guys basically had, you know, multiple majors, basically. I don't know how many Trevino had, right? But, you know, Player had like 8. Watson had 6, something like that. I mean, those guys were all tested, battle-tested winning players. The indictment on Tiger is that stat that he had never won a major when failing to have a lead into the last round.
And I hold just the only 6 second-place finishes. So what that tells me, if he's not leading... See you next week.
Well, he would get to a point where he'd say it's out of reach and just let it go. You know, whether it was on the 15th tee at a tournament or whatever. And again, yesterday, if you really looked at that thing, oh, man, when the pressure started to intensify and all of a sudden they had to chase Tiger a little, just by a stroke or two, that's all it was.
Just go.
Dustin Johnson hits it into the trap. Koepka misses a what I would call a relative gimme. You know, it wasn't a 3-footer. It was probably 8 to 10 feet. You got to bury that. On the 18th green at the Masters, to put pressure on Woods on the 18th tee, he missed it. And he missed it under the hole. He pulled it.
So if you don't remember it, if you're not old enough or you don't, you know, Watson and Nicklaus, just those two. Go look up or go watch the 77 British Open. I think it was at Turnberry. And watch how those two went back and forth. Just watch that. And I think that was the one where on 18, Jack drained like a 30-footer to put pressure on Watson to make a little one to win it. Just go watch that. Go watch the back nine of that. Go YouTube that thing. Never mind the open, and I think it was 81 when Watson chipped in on 16 or 17. Tiger Woods has never had that.
I mean, Nicklaus had a few guys who were peers, you know, or close.
And beat him.
Yeah, and Tiger didn't have anything like that. He really didn't. I mean, it was supposed to be Mickelson, even Duval there for a little bit, and nobody ever did.
If you want to say it's not his fault, fine, that's not his fault. I'm just telling you the condition of the modern game. John in Wakefield. Yes, John.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, he's not a dirtbag, okay? His father did all that stuff and worse. He'd lug this little guy going around winning majors and doing the same thing, picking up waitresses, getting drunk, falling asleep during lectures. I mean, he had the wreckage of the past to overcome. And I'm not talking 5-6 majors like the rest of those guys, what you're talking about.
So, John.
I'm talking 15 majors.
Okay, so his dad had problems.
Now yeah, we got, I'm not giving him a pass on that.
Profiles and courage, again, because his dad had some issues.
See, now we're going to rewrite history.
Exactly, only one.
So once the guy becomes an adult, he gets married and he has a family, it's his father's fault that he's cheating on his wife?
Apparently so.
This is the world we live in now, man.
So we're always going to blame someone else before us instead of actually taking responsibility for the actions ourselves? No, that's what we're going to do.
Or give it a diagnosis and medicate it.
How dare you, Maz? You're a victim shamer.
So, again, look, I
told
you. Is
it possible you can just be an a-hole?
I was rooting for the guy yesterday, okay? I was, because I like the story. You know, I want Tiger back in golf. I like the story. The whole sport is way more interesting to me when he's chasing a Nicklaus. And now we have that back. I'm in. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. But you're not going to sit there and hear me say that this was one of the more courageous things I've ever seen, because he brought it all on himself.
Most of it was self-inflicted.
I mean, the demise of Tiger was more spectacular than that yesterday. If you ask me, that story, that was unbelievable.
Louis in Amesbury. Hi, Louis.
You guys are unbelievable. Honestly, God, Felger. You know what you did yesterday? You wanted Tiger to win. So just like when the Red Sox win, the Patriots win, and you could spew your negativism like you do all the time. I just can't understand. And first, let me just say this. I am old enough. I did see Jack play against all those guys you're talking about. And by the way, you might want to look up and get your facts straight, because some of those guys had a little bit of dirtbag in them as well. And I loved all those guys, number one. Number two, are you serious when you say that the competition then versus now? Did you see? Okay, so
keyword, Louis, competition. They actually had some back then.
And there's plenty of competition now. Did you see the leaderboard yesterday with former champions Mickelson, Jason Day?
Who's Jason Day again? Who is that guy?
Australian.
Guys, no one know about or care about, Louis. This is my point.
Oh, please. No, you don't care about it. You don't care about it because you don't have your facts straight, Felger.
I got all my facts straight, Louis. I got all my facts.
No, brother,
you just don't like my opinion, so you say I don't have facts. That's all you do. That's just a childish little thing that someone have done. I've given you numbers all day long. I've given you research all day long. I know my facts better than you do, Louis. And I'm rooting against Tiger Woods. I'm rooting against him. Yep, I got a thing for Jack Nicklaus. I'm rooting against Tiger. I wanted him to contend so I could spew my nonsense. I don't want him to win. You don't got your facts straight, Louis. Go back and get some facts and come back to me. And then we'll compare your facts to my facts. I bet you my facts are better than your facts. How are your facts, Murray?
Not great. I just know what I feel, and I was rooting against him yesterday, and now I have to eat that L. And just what? Because everyone else is rooting for him, I have to, too? No, you like what you like. I like what I like.
Louis, fact. Tiger's finished second 6 times, which means if he's not winning, he's kind of quitting. Fact. Tiger Woods has never come back on Sunday to win a major until yesterday. Fact. Which means, unless he's front running, he's generally not winning. Jack came back 8 times. Fact. Go get your facts and then come back to me. And then, again, we'll compare facts.
Yeah, my facts are a little shaky. Gary Player did not have 80 at 9. Watson did not have 6. He had 8. And Trevino, who I asked, has he ever won a major? Jeez, I can't remember.
No, you didn't say
6.
That. Yeah, of course he did.
6. I don't know how many Trevino won. That's why I said 6. He won 6 and Ballesteros won 5.
The modern golf field is a soft field. Talented, but soft, which is part of the reason why, Louis, people don't give a crap about golf. Because they're not compelling Sunday afternoons because guys aren't going at each other. They're just playing their own round in their own head and collecting huge amounts of money from their sponsors. Prize money means nothing to these guys. So all the money's guaranteed, and they've already made it, which is why Sundays kind of suck because no one's really competing. Not like they used to. Here's Murray's 90-second update. No commercials, and we're back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.